Well, good morning, guys. Good morning. Well, it is a new day in the Dane household. After almost 16 years of marriage, for the first time in our marriage, Ashley and I both have full-time jobs outside of the home. After 12 years of staying home happily, staying home sacrificially with our girls, Ashley took a job this past August working in the school district as a teacher. She's teaching second grade. And so for the first time in our marriage, we have two full-time incomes. It's a new day. It's never happened before. And y'all, this opportunity has been a long time part of our long-term financial plan and goals, right? Like, we knew that eventually this opportunity would come, and when it did come, it would be our opportunity to begin to prepare and to save for college for three kids, not to mention braces and cars and weddings for three girls, right? We also knew that this opportunity would be our time and our opportunity to get more aggressive in terms of our preparation and saving for retirement and for investing and those kinds of things. But now that the opportunity and the time is here, it's led me to ask some questions, some good questions that I believe are good things to pray about. And so I thought if they're good questions for me, that you might also want to work through these questions. Things like, for us as Christ followers, what's the difference between saving and hoarding? What's the difference between saving money and hoarding money? You know, like, for us as a family, we want to be generous, and we don't want to be generous later. We want to be generous now. We want to be generous with this opportunity. I mean, our family's stated mission is that we want to impact the kingdom of God by living and loving generously. We don't want to live that out someday. We want to live that out today, right? Being generous now. Also, consider this question. What's the difference between living in faith for today and exercising godly wisdom in preparation for tomorrow? Right? What's the difference between those two? I mean, Jesus himself said both of these things. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And then at the same time, in a different conversation, the same Jesus said, hey, if any of you are going to build a tower, you need to first count the cost and see if you have enough to complete the job. Don't worry about tomorrow, it'll worry about itself. If you're going to do something, count the cost and make sure that you have what you need to complete the job. It seems like Jesus is advocating for both daily dependence on God as well as godly wisdom and future preparation. So what do we do with both of those at the same time? Like, take, for example, my kids in college, right? Seems like now is an opportunity to prepare for that. But do I need to worry about that? I mean, what if my kids don't choose to go to college? We're okay with them taking a different path. But what if they do? Feels like now's a good time and opportunity to prepare for the what if, right? Jesus seems to advocate for daily dependence and also for future preparation. So when it comes to savings and our personal finances and all of this conversation that we're talking about in the Money Challenge, what is the Bible teaching us? Well, I don't know about your family, but my family could use a little bit of wisdom. So if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. The Proverbs are in the Old Testament portion of your Bible. If you go to the Psalms, it's just to the right of that. So turn to the middle of your Bible. That's probably Psalms, and then you'll find Proverbs sitting right next to it. You'll see that we're going to be in Proverbs 6, but there's 31 Proverbs, which means that if you did one a day, it makes a pretty good little reading plan for a month. All right, so the Proverbs sound a little bit different. They're almost a little bit poetic in nature because this book of the Bible is a book of wisdom literature, meaning that it's full of wisdom and knowledge and understanding that's based on the fear of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what we want. We want wisdom based on fearing God. So let's begin with Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to read verses 6, 7, and 8. It says, go to the ant, meaning the insect, the tiny little insect. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, and yet it stores. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, and yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Now again, remember, this kind of sounds a little bit poetic. So let me say it this way, okay? Think about the ant. Yes, the insect. And look at it as an example. And learn from it. And see that the ant doesn't have a boss that's telling it what to do. And yet, it prepares when it can for when it cannot. See that? The ant prepares when it can for when it cannot prepare. And that, my friends, is wisdom. I want you to write this in your notes. Saving is an aspect of wisdom. I believe that the Bible teaches us that saving is wise. And I believe that the Bible teaches us that saving is not directly opposed to living in faith. This proverb about the ant is just one of many places where we get this kind of wisdom and this kind of insight and instruction from God that teaches us that saving is a part of godly wisdom and it's not directly opposed to living in faith, though it can be. So as Christ followers, what we want to do as we approach our personal finances, as we approach this idea of saving, is we want to save with some specific purposes and some specific goals in mind. We want biblical principles. We want the truth of God to guide the way that we approach this. What is our purpose in this? What are our goals for this? And so this morning, I want us to draw together from multiple Proverbs to find this kind of wisdom to help shape these purposes and goals for us. So let's just start here with Proverbs chapter 6. And our friend, the ant. All right, the ant teaches us to prepare for the winter. That's the little narrative that's going on here. You see, the ant is preparing in the summertime, and he's gathering from the plenty of the harvest. He's gathering in a time of abundance in preparation for the winter season, in a time where there will be lack, in a time of scarcity. In the time of abundance, he's preparing ahead for the time of scarcity. And we can do that too. We can use the good times to prepare us for the difficult times. That's wisdom. And it's also real life, right? Like maybe you've heard of Murphy's Law. You've heard of that? It's the idea that if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And it's a little bit pessimistic, but I think it's also a reflection of our reality, what we live in, the world that we live in, knowing that there will be an emergency, that we will all face the unexpected and the unplanned, and emergencies will happen to us and to our families. There will be medical bills. There will be car accidents. There will be house repairs. There will be job loss. There will be a number of other different things, and we can prepare in times of abundance or at the harvest for the times of scarcity or lack in preparation for the winter. So as we prepare for them, here's the goal, that we would think ahead and work ahead to save for emergencies. Save for emergencies because emergencies are going to happen. Now I want to give you some next steps that go along with this goal to guide the way that you think about saving for emergencies. These particular next steps come from Dave Ramsey, and Dave calls them Murphy repellent, right? What he says is we want to kick Murphy out of our house. Yes, reality is going to happen, but we want to prepare in advance. And I would encourage you, if you are reading along with us in the book, The Money Challenge, we gave copies away last weekend, and we've got them at every exit to give away again this weekend. You're going to find some of the same concepts and next steps built on biblical principles in that book, just like you would in Dave Ramsey's stuff. So grab one of those free books this morning and follow along at home and read through it as we walk through this together. So here's the next steps that go with this goal. First of all, start emergency fund now of $1,500. Now, in Dave Ramsey's baby steps, he's always said 1,000. In the book, The Money Challenge, he says 1,500. Dave Ramsey's stuff was written a while back. It's 2019, so I thought, hey, inflation, let's go with 1,500. All right? But either way, gather between $1,000 and $1,500 and do what it takes to scrape it together and to store it away and to put it away and do it now in preparation for later, because this will help you, not if, but when you face an emergency. And no, half off sales are not an emergency. No, big screen TVs for Major League Baseball are not an emergency. No, vacation opportunities are not emergencies. And even new tires are not an emergency, right? They're going to wear out. That's how rubber works. So we can prepare and know that it's coming. And so sacrifice what it takes to sacrifice and do what it takes to build it up. And then when you need it, you have it to dip into. And when you dip into it, replenish it. Dip into it, replenish it. Dip into it, replenish it. And establish a discipline of self-control where you make sure that that emergency fund is accessible, $1,000 to $1,500. And you know what? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you go, my goodness, that doesn't feel like a next step. That feels like a next leap. I get it. But hang on, because the next step is even more difficult. So after you pay off your debts, and maybe you're sitting here going, yes, debts. I know a lot about debts. Let me tell you, come back next weekend, because as we finish up this series, The Money Challenge, next weekend, that's where we're really going to deal a lot with debt. So come back. But I would tell you, after you pay off your debts, most financial planners would recommend that you save up 3 to 6 months of expenses. Write that in your notes. 3 to 6 months of expenses. Remember, the aunt saved up for winter. I know for us in South Texas, it's hard to think of winter as being 3 to 6 months. It's usually like 3 to 6 days, all right? But the idea is this. It's a season. It's a season. We're not just saving up for small emergencies. This 3 to 6 month plan helps us to save up for the big emergencies, for when life really throws us massive curveballs. And I want you to note that I said 3 to 6 months of expenses. That's not 3 to 6 months of income, right? And hopefully your expenses are smaller than your income. If it's the other way around, then you definitely will want to join us next weekend as we talk about living appropriately with what we have. So this 3 to 6 months, now this is a true emergency fund that prepares us for the real hard winters. Now this morning I want you to know that last week as we talked about generosity and giving, we told you that Brazos Point models this, right? As a church, as a ministry, as an organization, we live this out. We don't just preach it, we practice it. And so we give more than 10% of the income that comes into the ministries of Brazos Point. We give it away to church plants and to local ministries and to mission-sending organizations. We give generously not because the church is commanded to give a tithe, but because we want to set the example and we want to live in that kind of faith and experience God in that. But I want you to know this. It's not just in generosity that Brazos Point models this. It's also in the things that we're talking about today in regards to saving. Brazos Point is modeling this for you too as an individual or as a family. Right? We have 5 months of that 3 to 6 months set aside in what we would call, quote unquote, an emergency fund or a cash reserve. We have 5 months of operational expenses saved up. Y'all, this is prudent for us as a church because our mission and vision, what God has called us to do, is too important to suspend in the event that something happens, something tragic happens in our community and to the families of this church. The vision and mission of Brazos Point must keep going. And so we have 5 months of operational expenses saved up in a cash reserve to help us to do that in the event of something awful, maybe a natural disaster or something like that. Thankfully, our executive pastor, Kirk Wilson, he's our business administrator, as well as our advisory team, a group of leaders made up of non-staff. They've made good and wise decisions based on these biblical principles to protect our church. It's not just the 5 months of emergency fund. In addition to that, we have another fund that's for capital replacement, right? This building was built all at one time, so every AC in this building is the same age. The roof is the same age. All the parts and pieces are the same age, and so we can see it coming that someday we're going to need ACs. And so Kirk has started a capital replacement fund so that we don't have to dip into that emergency fund when that comes, because we can see it coming. And it's that kind of biblical wisdom that we see in the ant. It's that kind of preparation that we see in the church that I want us to practice in our own families, in our lives as individuals. So let's learn from that. Now I want you to look at another proverb this morning to see our next purpose in saving. So go to the right in your Bible to Proverbs 22. We're going to go from 6 to 22 and then back towards 13 again. So Proverbs 22, verse 7 shares this wisdom with us. It says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. I want you to underline that phrase in your Bible. The borrower is slave to the lender. Listen, we do not want to be enslaved to lenders. We do not want to be held captive in bondage to debts, right? If you are, you know what I'm talking about. You know the weight of those debts on your family, on your household. You know the tensions that it brings and represents. And so the discipline of saving, this work of saving that we're talking about, this can lead us to avoid this kind of debt and this kind of experience. And you can still have some of the nice things that you want, but not incur debt, right? If you're willing to wait. The new furniture, the nice vacation, the projects around the house. All of these things are things that are worth saving for, not things that are worth going into debt over. Saving for, not going into debt over. And the reality is, the longer you save, the more you wait, the harder you work, the sweeter it will be when those things come to be. That is life, and that is the wisdom of this next proverb, Proverbs 13:19. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. I I love that. When a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, when you've wanted it and you get it, it is satisfying. I teach this one to my kids all the time. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, girls. But Dad, I want it now. I know the longer you wait, the better it's going to be when you get it. God said that. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. So here's the goal, right? We save and avoid debt. And in order to do that, we pay cash for the big items. That's the goal. That's where the rubber meets the road here. We pay cash for the big items. And listen, almost all of us are going to have to finance homes. And most of us, and many of us, are going to finance cars. But outside of those things, if you'll save up for the big items, yes, it's the slower and longer and more patience-requiring kind of way, but it's worth it. And in the end, it'll help you to avoid debt, it'll help you to avoid more debt, and it will make those purchases that much more meaningful when it finally comes to be. And maybe this morning, you're so stuck on the fact that you are drowning in debt, and you feel that way that you're like, I need help with that. And again, I would encourage you not only to come back next week, but to continue to read through the book, The Money Challenge. Because that book, when you read it all the way to the end, it has so many good ideas and principles to help you work through debt. So please stay engaged with that book. It's so easy to read because it's built on this fictitious fable. It's so engaging and it is so helpful. So continue to pursue that, especially if you're looking for help with debts. Now I want you to flip back in the Proverbs to Proverbs 13 for the last of our purposes and goals in regards to saving. Proverbs 13 verse 22 shares this wisdom. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. So here's the underlying purpose, all right? This is what we learn from this wisdom. Save to benefit others. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, save to the benefit of others. This is what I want you to hear me say this morning, church. As Christ followers, we are remade, we are called to be Jesus-centered, others-focused people, right? As we follow Christ, we will be Jesus-centered and others-focused in all that we do and everything that we are, including how we deal with our personal finances, including how we approach the subjects of savings and having a strategy for our families. And it's this recognition that it's not about us. Jesus-centered, others-focused people realize it's not about me. Not even my savings is about me. So what does it look like to save to the benefit of other people? Now, I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. All right? There's plenty of room for debate in regards to how much money we should leave for our children and our children's children as an inheritance. There's plenty of room for you to have your own direction, your own convictions, for you to pray through that. I'm not telling you what to do in that regard, but the Bible is saying here that a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. And I want you to recognize this morning that an inheritance is about so much more than just money. Right? As parents, we save to the benefit of the others, modeling for this for our kids. And so that means that our goal here is to teach our children to save. And that can be a part of the inheritance that we leave them. We can practice good biblical stewardship, meaning we manage the resources that God has entrusted to us. We can model that for them. And y'all, we have to teach our kids not only about saving, but also about giving. Because the reality is probably neither one of those things will be intuitive to them. Probably not going to be natural for your kids or my kids, either one, to just naturally be savers and givers. We have to teach them these things. And the reality is these things have to be taught and caught. We have to live it out in front of them, meaning that we practice what we preach as parents. So in my house, we use the three-jar system where every kid has three different jars. You've got a give jar, you've got a save jar, and you've got a spend jar. And it sits on your dresser or on your nightstand. And when you get allowance, when you do a chore, when money comes in, you divide it up between those three, right? You put some money in the give, some money in the spend, and some money in the save. And we're beginning to try to teach them those things. I'll be honest, we don't do that as consistently as I wish that we would. But what we do consistently is we model in front of them and we let them see and hear and understand the decisions that we're making, the ways that we're choosing to be generous, the ways that we're choosing to be disciplined and saving. And we're going to continue to model those things in front of them. But what I know this morning is, y'all, we've got a long way to go because I've got three immediate gratification spenders on my hand. For real. Three. I'm three for three. And they did not get that from their mama. So I wonder where they did get that. I don't know. But the deal is we will keep modeling it for them. We will keep living it out. We will keep teaching it. And in time, they will mature and get it. Right? Will they? Will they get it and mature? I don't know. I hope so. But we're certainly going to live it before them. And as I think about this, y'all, I think about what Ashley and I have inherited from our parents. When I think about specifically financially what Ashley and I have inherited from our parents, we started our marriage with zero student loan debt. Absolutely none. Because of the sacrifice and the savings of our parents. And so financially speaking, we started our marriage on third base, and thank God we were smart enough to know that we didn't hit a triple. We didn't get there by ourselves. Our parents put us there, right? Now, I'm not telling you this morning that you need to pay for 100% of your kids' school. That's not what I'm saying. Again, there's room for you to have your own convictions, your own ideas, and your own strategies around that. But what I'm saying is we want to leave our kids and our grandkids an inheritance of sound financial decisions. We want to leave them an inheritance of modeling biblical principles for stewardship, for the ways that we manage our money, for wise saving, for generous giving. And if they inherit a little bit of money on top of all of that, well, that's just the icing on the cake. So let's speak of the last of the goals, all right? Speaking of being generous, that is the last of the goals. You go, generous? Wait, hang on, that was last week. We already talked about that, y'all. That's the heart of all of this, because God is wanting to build in each of our hearts as followers of Christ a heart of generosity. Because if Jesus is anything, Jesus is generous. He's selfless and he's sacrificing and he's good. And as we follow Christ, we will be selfless and sacrificing and generous like our Savior. As followers of Christ, we're to be Jesus-centered and others-focused. And so we save to the benefit of others. And this is so much bigger than just our own kids. This is so much bigger than just our own families. Write this next goal in your notes. Utilize margin for generosity. Utilize the margin for generosity. So when you're disciplined in savings, that will create margin in your personal finances. When I think about margin, I think about a piece of paper, right? Remember in school where the teacher said, do not write in the margin? That margin created space. It created room. That's all margin is. Margin in savings in regards to our personal finances, it creates space. It creates room. It creates this cash reserve. And that space and room and reserve creates freedom. And that freedom gives us the opportunity to be generous the way that our hearts desire to be generous. Good planning breeds the opportunity for good generosity. And so what's the difference between saving and hoarding for a Christ follower? I think that's a big question. What's the difference between saving and hoarding for a Christ follower? It's all about what you do with it. It's what you do with what you've got. What you do with what God has entrusted to you. It's all about the purposes for which you're doing it. It's all about the goals that you have and the reasons behind it. It's all about the why. What's the why? Well, that's what will put you in the place of hoarding or put you in the place of saving. It's all about our hearts. And remember, the Proverbs teach us that a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. And I want my kids to inherit a legacy of generosity. I want my kids to inherit a legacy of generosity and see us as a family being generous to this church because we love it and we believe in it. I want my kids to see us being generous to other churches because we recognize that this is a team sport and we're not the only church. We're not the only church that matters. We're not the only church that God's using. I want my kids to see us being generous to ministries that help the widow and the orphan and the oppressed, both here and around the world, because we know that these are people that are near and dear to the heart of our compassionate God. I want my children to receive a legacy of inheritance of us giving generously to mission-sending organizations because as a family, we believe that there is nothing more important, more eternal than sending people to tell others in other parts of the world about the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what I want my kids to inherit. And so Ashley and I have to do everything we can in this new season of our life to work our tails off to continue to try to be a one-income family so that we can leverage this opportunity of two incomes, yes, to save and prepare like never before, but also to give with generosity like never before because God has opened the door to a new opportunity for our family. And I don't know for you what your circumstances are. I don't know what season you're in, but I know this. The call on all of our lives is the same. God is calling us to be faithful with what he has given us. And if you're a follower of Christ, God has saved you. He has rescued you for your good and for his glory and for the sake of his kingdom. And when you think about everything that you have, including your strategy for savings, understand that you can do even this to the glory of God. And so this morning, I want to pray for your family and for my own, that we would have wisdom and self-control and discipline as we seek to glorify God with this. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank you for your goodness and grace to us. God, thank you for these truths, for the wisdom of the Proverbs. Thank you for your word, that it is relevant and clear. God, when I think about how ancient it is and how timeless it is, and yet how helpful it is, it helps me to see how smart you are and how benevolent you are, how loving and good you are to us. So we thank you for it, God. And God, also this morning, I'm just super mindful of people that are here today and saying, you know what, my circumstances are difficult. I am living in the winter right now. I'm struggling so much financially. God, I pray that you would minister to them mentally, emotionally, and financially. God, that they would experience your faithfulness even in the hard times, that you would be their source of strength and support and their rescue from even their financial struggles. God, for all of us, I pray that you would give us discipline and wisdom. God, I pray that you would give us self-control, that your Holy Spirit would work inside of us, that we would leverage everything we have for your glory and for your kingdom and for your name's sake, Jesus. Jesus, we love you and we trust you. And we pray this in your powerful name. Amen.